Let's open the Bible, our Bibles, shall we? The book of Matthew, chapter 25, if you will. Now, the theme of the camp is what? What did you say it was, Ian? That's good. It was just a muffle, and I thought, well, maybe I've got it wrong. Yes, that's the theme of the camp. Behold, I come quickly. I want to read a little bit from this chapter here, Matthew 25. The Lord is speaking, and we read here in chapter 25 and verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' And the Lord said to him, 'Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of the Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of the Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, and you have that is yours.' His Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed.'" And so the Lord here is speaking with his disciples. He's describing to them the kingdom of God, and he's giving this example that serving well God, you know, that people should serve God well. That is the thrust of it, that the Lord here gave them something and he wanted a return. And it's no different from you and I. And look, it was just earlier on in the year here when we planted the trees, and my word, they're doing well, aren't they? And they look great. Some of them look fairly plain, I realise, but anyway, they're doing well, and David and Diana are doing a great job of looking after them, and all the people said. Yes. Anyway, so they're looking good. But you see, when we planted the trees that day, and there were about 40 of us here for doing the working bee, I was with a few others and we were doing the fencing round down there to keep the roos out so the trees wouldn't be eaten. Anyway, the trees, I was working over there, and after, I don't know, morning tea time or something, I came back over here and everybody was over here, you know, standing around leaning on the shovels and so on. And I walked over and somebody said, you know, some wise guy said, "Oh, look out, here he comes, look busy." I mean, they were only joking, weren't they? look busy, because the boss was coming. Well, I wasn't the boss anyway, but but I was perceived, because I gave the instructions and said, "Well, you people work with this one and you do that over there," and so on, and everything went like a well-oiled piece of machinery while we were fiddling around down there pretending to fence, you see. And then we came back for morning tea and so on, and somebody said, "Oh, look busy, here he comes." Well, you see the example from the scriptures here, that the servants need to be busy, that we as the Lord's servants, now that we're spirit-filled, when the Lord comes back at morning tea time, we don't want to actually suddenly say to each other, "Oh, come on, look busy." We want to be involved, don't we? in the work of the Lord. We want to be sincere. We want to be genuine because we realize that we're spirit-filled. Have a look in the book of John in chapter 5. John chapter 5, and the Lord had just healed somebody here, but it was on a Sabbath day, and the religious people were a bit upset about it. In verse 10, the Jews therefore said to him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Oh, what miserable miseries they are, aren't they? Well, they were. And he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk. And in verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered and said to him, my Father works hitherto, or my Father is working, and I work. See, Jesus Christ was involved all the time in the work of the Father. Now, bearing that in mind, turn with me up to the book of Ephesians, please, in chapter 2. So, people have their traditions, they have their, you know, procedures. The religious people had their procedures. There was the systems set in place. There was the way to do things, the way people were going. There was an order. There's a pecking order, if you like. The religious people thought they were pretty important. There was a way to do things. And we see in Ephesians chapter 10, and Paul is writing to the Spirit-filled, and despite the systems, the procedures that people had in place, despite them saying, oh, he shouldn't have worked a miracle on the Sabbath day, Jesus said to them, God is working and I'm working. And we read in here in chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now then, when we received the Holy Spirit, we were recreated. We were remade. We've been changed into something that is new. It's an amazing thought. And then you might say, but we don't look any different. And in fact, as the years roll by, we do look a little bit different. We look a little bit the worse for wear. Well, from where I'm standing, we all look a little bit the worse for wear, don't we, as the years roll by? Now, we don't look any different, but Paul says we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. So it's not the outward appearance that matters anymore particularly. It's what's on the inside. It's the attitude that we have. It's the actions that we display. Behold, I come quickly. That's the theme of the camp. And I'm going to just mention it a couple of times as I go through these scriptures. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. And who's he coming back for? Are we 5 talenters? Are we 2 talenters servants? Or are we 1 talenter servants? But he said to the 5 talenters and the 2 talenters, he said, you've done well. You've been good servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But look what happened to the 1 talenter. Anyway, still in Ephesians and in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, and you has he quickened. That word quickened, it means enlivened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He's talking about the past. And we don't all have to have been criminals, you know. We don't all have to have been drug takers, you know. We don't all have to have been killers. We don't have to have done anything like that. But God wants us to see that the day that we got filled with the Holy Spirit, that is the day. That's the pivotal point when we've been recreated. That's the pivotal point when we became the new creation. That is the day that we became the servants, and the potential was within us straight away to make another 5 talents or to make another 2 talents, or we could go and bury it as well. Behold, I come quickly. What do we want to be doing when the boss comes back for morning tea? Do we quickly need somebody to say, oh, look busy, the boss is coming? Or we don't need that because we're just involved. We're contributing. We're happy. We're rejoicing in what God has done for us. And so, go with me to the book of Acts in chapter 20. Now, we can all see these things about ourselves. We can compare ourselves, and we need to compare ourselves to the scriptures, don't we? In the book of Acts in chapter 20, and Paul here is involved and speaking as well. And I'm just going to take it up in verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, he's saying this to the saints. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So Paul was resolute in speaking God's word. And if we are a people that are aware of the return of Jesus Christ, that we're anticipating the return of Jesus Christ, and we want to be busy. I mean, because behold, I come quickly, by extension from that is, you know, we want to be about the Father's business, don't we? And all the people said, we want to be involved. We want to be doing what we've been called to be doing. Or we can get our talent. We can get the Holy Ghost. Hold it in one hand with a shovel, dig a little hole and drop it in and pat the dirt back down and get on with life. But you know, that's what some people do. And we're not immune from all of that. None of us are. We've got to be careful. We're still in that chapter, in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. He didn't shun to declare all the counsel of God, and neither should we shun the word of God. We shouldn't leave little bits out. Oh, it's a bit hard to do that. I don't know that I don't want to go all the way. We can't afford to say that. We want to hear the full counsel of God, don't we? We want to be corrected. We want to be kept on the straight and narrow, don't we? All the people said. We want that. We want God's correction, whether it's from our own private reading or whether it's from the talks that we hear. We want to get the correction. We want to get it right. And in verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And so there's a responsibility on some of us that are doing the preaching, to make sure that we're feeding the flock of God. Time and time again, I come across, when we go on our outreaches in the city or wherever it might be, you come across people that are spirit-filled, so they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, but they go along to some group where there's no vision, it seems, sadly. There's no vision, there's no teaching, and people filled with the Holy Spirit for 10 years or 20 years or more, and they don't understand the basics of how to get saved, or even how they did get saved, or why they're saved. It's almost by accident, which is a shame. It's a crying shame. And, you know, we don't say that from a position of superiority, because we're not superior. But we do need to understand what the Word of God says. This is what God intended, that we should understand it and that we should give it out. And we read here in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." You know, part of our work now, part of us being the servants of the Lord, and it doesn't matter of our sex, male or female, it doesn't matter one little bit. We can all learn what is the truth. We can all stand up for the truth, and we can say, no, that's not right. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. We can all do that. We can all say, yes, this is what God wants. This is me being the new creature now. This is me being different. Because that's what God has called us to be, different. Hagios, to be different, to be sanctified. And in verse 35, "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And so we've got a responsibility as well to each other. Being involved in God's work is looking after one another to support the weak in faith. I mean, we do remember back in Matthew, and in fact, well, let's just turn back to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 25 again. I was going to quote it to you, but actually I probably wouldn't be able to quote it, and so I'll read it. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord here is speaking again, and he says in verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you a hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say to you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me." And so there's a very necessary part of our walk in the Lord, now that we've been born again, now that we've been recreated, now that we are some of the citizens of the household of God, to care for one another. We're the new creatures. We're different. Not indifferent, but we're different. Have a look in the book of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. "Say not you, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together." And herein is that saying true, "One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and you are entered into their labours." This is our core purpose. Now, somebody said to me, a couple of people have said to me a number of times over the years, "Oh, I'm not an evangelist. I want to do something else," and that's fine, do something else. But we cannot get away from the fact, can we, that what God has called us to do when he brought us into the kingdom of God, he said, your core purpose is to get others in as well. That's what he's called us to do. And we cannot get away from that fact. He also called us, when he called us into the kingdom of God, he called us to look after one another. Now, if there is something else that we should be doing, tell me what it is and I'll do it. But this is what the Lord has called us to. "Behold, I come quickly." That's right, he is coming quickly. We want to be involved, don't we? And this is what the Lord is calling us to be involved with. Let's not be reluctant and look for something else. Oh, I need to develop the music, or I want to build a school, or I want to do something else that God hasn't actually called us to do, but it's more comfortable perhaps. It doesn't involve us standing up and being counted. It doesn't involve us standing out like a light. It doesn't involve us being different. But the Lord has made us different when he filled us with the Holy Ghost. And we've all got to get hold of that with both hands and say, yes, that is the reality of my situation now. I was just last week, I went for a ride from our place on my bicycle. I was over in Guildford and I went past the one of the Anglican churches there. And because it was so close to Christmas, they had a big sign up there saying, you know, what's happening over the Christmas week. And I mean, the very fact that the sign was there in front of the church and it was put up by this organization, religious organization, I mean, you can't blame people for thinking, well, this is what Christian people do. And the Anglican poster was, oh, you know, what's on? What's on in the Christmas week? Well, there was on one particular night, there was going to be the lighting of the community Christmas tree. Now, don't be like that. We don't want any sarcasm here, thank you. So there's the lighting of the Christmas community tree, and I don't care who has a Christmas tree. I mean, I can flick the lights on at home, and I did as well. I did, you know, on the Christmas tree. It was a bit dark, so I put them on. You know, it's nothing. But for organisations or individuals to get across to the world at large that this is what a Christian does. We light up the community Christmas tree. I mean, how weak, how insipid is all of that? How completely separate and different from the calling of Jesus Christ, of being filled with the Holy Ghost, of living forever. And of course, there are other things as well. There's a family fun day with food stalls and games. Well, there's nothing wrong with that in itself, is there? But it's not what God called people to do. That's for sure. There's no vision. There's no God-given purpose in these things. There's a thin veneer of godliness. And with that goes the expectation that God is going to be pleased with it. Well, we've just been reading about what God will be pleased with. He's pleased with the regenerated individual, with the individual that's got a little bit of courage perhaps, but a little bit of faith. That sees the calling of God and says, yes, here I am. Behold, I come quickly. My word is coming quickly. We'd better be ready. Now then, have a look in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, behold, I come quickly. That's what the Lord was said, but we haven't even read those words yet. Do you know where they are in the scriptures? Yeah. Sorry? Thank you. Well, we'll have a look at that in a minute. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous. This is writing to Spirit-filled. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Just back in Colossians chapter 3. Quick. Come on. I'm running out of time here. You're getting tired. But just keep that thought in mind, what we just read in Hebrews in chapter 6 and in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We're not standing around idle. And then all of a sudden the boss comes up and we're not saying to each other, oh, you better look busy. You better look busy. Here he is. No, we don't need to do that because we can see the calling. It's to be involved all of the time now that we're Spirit-filled. Knowing, in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And all the people said, we serve Jesus Christ. Behold, I come quickly. He says, have a look in 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. Paul is writing here again to us, the Spirit-filled, and he says in verse 6, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And we see time and time again this encouragement to be involved with the Lord. And the Lord isn't going to be a debtor to anybody. He's going to bless you and I as we see the calling, as we get involved. Now then, behold, I come quickly in Revelation then. Is it only in the last verse of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible? In Revelation, but in chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Now, John here is writing to the Spirit-filled, and he's writing to the group of saints in Philadelphia. You may be familiar that he wrote to seven separate groups of people, and God was admonishing five of them. And he said, you better get your act together. But there were two groups that seemed to be doing it right. Philadelphia, brotherly love. And we read here in Revelation 3 in verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, and he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, and that no man take your crown. And there are trying times coming upon this earth. There are trying times on this earth now. But it's going to get worse before it gets better, before the Lord returns. And so it's no good us being, you know, ambivalent about all these things. You know, no good being in two minds. Oh, well, I don't know if I want to serve the Lord. Behold, I come quickly, he says. Look, there's trouble coming upon this earth. We need to be awake. We need to be rejoicing and ever thankful. And in chapter 22, and this is the last scripture, in chapter 22 and verse 10, and he says to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Elsewhere in the scriptures, we can read how the Lord spoke to one prophet or another, and he said, seal it up, seal up the prophecy. But he said, don't seal up this prophecy. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he, well, the other day, the other week, we were in the city preaching the gospel, myself and a number of other saints. And admittedly, it was just before Christmas and people were doing their shopping and they were busy. They were busy, you got to give them that. And I lost count of the number of people that said to me as I was trying to offer a pamphlet, as I was trying to talk to them about the Lord, no, it's all good, mate. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's not all good. Jesus Christ is coming back and you haven't got filled, well, presumably, you haven't got filled with the Holy Spirit, judging by some of their remarks. They're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not all good. But people are going flat out to hell of their own choosing. You know, that chorus that Edward and Petronia and Golden and Helen and Emmanuel singing tonight, the favourite of Pastor Godfrey's, you know, the choice is yours. Well, I remember listening to him preach on my one and only visit to PNG at this rally in Lae 3-4 years ago, and he was addressing 20,000 people or so. He said, what do you want to do? You can have eternal life with God, or you can be... or you can go to hell for eternity. The choice is yours. No pressure. My word, talk about subtle. And so he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. It's all good, mate. No, I'm good. I'm good. Yet they're not good. But the people that decide that they'll remain in their state, well, let them remain. You can't make anybody do anything. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. So those of us that are righteous, and if we're spirit-filled, we're righteous, let's hang on to it. Let's maintain the righteousness. Let's not faint in what we're doing, but let's think of the talents. Some of us are remarkably short of talent. I know that. I was, you know, the cigar box trio, they were practicing over there as I was trying to get my talk together, and I found my heel, I was getting my talk together, my heel was thumping on the floor, you know, they're very good, very distracting, and I said to them afterwards, you know, it'd be so nice, I'd love to be able to sing, I'd love to be able to, you know, do those things, but it's just not in me, I'm not talented like that, but thankfully, that's not one of the talents the Lord is looking for, is it? Otherwise, I'd be going to hell. I'd be already there. But thankfully, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So then, you know what I'm saying. And in verse 12, he says, and behold, I come quickly, for my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So there we are. The boss is coming. Let's look busy. The boss is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Let's be busy. Behold, I come quickly. And all the people said, amen. All right, we'll leave the scriptures there. I'm sorry if I've gone on a little bit long tonight, but I've done it now.